You're listening to Birth, Babies,
and Busy Moms.
I'm Kia.
And I'm Dana.
We're two busy, sleep-deprived moms discussing different stages of motherhood,
providing personal experiences and guest speakers to empower and educate mothers around the world,
helping and supporting them to make informed decisions and to let you know
you're not alone.
I know.
And welcome to episode 7, where we have our amazing guest, a doula.
Yeah, her name is Krista White, and she was actually my doula when I had my second child.
Yeah, that must have been so healing, having a doula the second time.
It was very healing, like I mentioned in the first episode we ever did. She had such an expertise in pressure points that during my labor, I was in so much pain that when she did the pressure points, it relieved the pressure of the contractions. And it was such a game changer in those moments because I truly felt that those contractions, they were killing me.
Yeah, honestly, I never even knew that was a thing. I did not have any pressure points in either of my labor, but I'm sure that would have helped so much.
Not only that, but the support I received during my pregnancy, birth, and postpartum period was so beneficial towards my mental health and physical health. During pregnancy, if I had any questions, she would answer all of them. And during labor, she was there throughout the whole thing, all of my contractions, when they broke my water, and was there for the birth of my second daughter. And it was such a good orgasmic birth. And I really attribute it to the support that I had from a doula and a midwife. And I'm just really excited to have her on the podcast for her to share the knowledge that she does have, because a doula makes such a difference.
Yeah. And I think too that like paid help is just sometimes a better way to go, because then you're not burdening or feeling like you're burdening somebody else, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
Well, thank you so much, Krista, for coming on the podcast here today. We're really excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to share some of the things that I do as a doula, as well as just what a doula's role is in pregnancy and postpartum.
Well, thank you so much. I'm super interested because I've never had a doula in any of my pregnancies or births. I mean, I did want one, but I didn't end up going down that route. What made you want to be a doula?
Well, I was one of the first people in my group of friends to have children. And so I spent most of my pregnancy being really interested in what happens inside our bodies and how pregnancy affects us mentally and emotionally. And I did a lot of research into how to have a natural birth experience, because I'm afraid of hospitals and needles, and I just didn't really want any interventions that weren't necessary. And my first birth experience went really, really well. I had all the things that I wanted. And then my second pregnancy, I really expected to do all of the same things, and none of it turned out the way that I wanted it to be. I ended up having like a pretty traumatic birth experience and a really difficult time postpartum. And I hadn't heard of a doula until that second pregnancy. And one day when I was really upset about breastfeeding and really stressed out, a local doula here in Fort McMurray came over and helped me with breastfeeding. And she was just so reassuring and kind and gave me so much information that it just made the whole experience better for me. And I was able to continue breastfeeding and I just felt so much better. And I really credit that to that experience with that doula. And I knew that it's something that I wanted to be, because I love pregnancy and birth and breastfeeding and parenting and all of those things. And I just didn't know it was an opportunity to do that.
So how much longer after you gave birth to your second, had this traumatic experience, did you become a doula? And what are the things that you had to do in order to become one?
I actually found a doula course within the first 6 months postpartum that was being offered here in Fort McMurray, and signed up and took that course when I was about 9 months postpartum. It was a 3-day course that took place in person here in town with a woman who trains doulas across Canada, and she lives in Saskatchewan. And so we did a 3-day course together with a bunch of other local women and talked about childbirth and different interventions. And then I took my first doula client on when my son was 13 months. My first doula baby was actually born on Halloween.
That's amazing that you became a doula. That's great. But that must have been so hard, though, having a newborn. Well, not a newborn, but a year old baby at the time.
It was. I'm super lucky to have a very supportive husband and family when it comes to this kind of lifestyle because sometimes I'm not home for long periods of time and we don't know when I'm going to be home, depending on how labor is going. But my husband also really knew that this was the right fit for me as a career and that I'm super passionate just about helping women have the type of birth experience that they want or feeling supportive. So yeah, he was really open to it and he still is.
Well, that's great, especially because you're supporting all these other women, right? You need to have that support as well. When you're taking on clients, are you looking at their end dates, like when they're supposed to be giving birth? Like, how does that all work?
I usually take between 3 and 4 clients every 3 to 4 weeks. So, like, say for the month of February, I would take 3 or 4 clients who are due in that month. Because usually, if I take about that many, it means that they shouldn't give birth on the same day. So, I'm looking a little bit at due dates, but not really too much because due dates are really just a very rough estimate of when somebody might give birth. I was at 2 births this last week, and one of them was actually due in March, and she had a very preterm baby. Everybody's doing really awesome and they're doing great. And the other person who gave birth wasn't due until the 22nd of February, and she gave birth on Tuesday this week. So yeah, you can't really spend too much time looking at due dates because they can vary so much. Again, just being able to be flexible and not taking on more than you're capable of is really important.
And have you ever ran into an issue of having two of your clients giving birth at the same time?
Not at the exact same time, but there was a year a couple years ago where I had 3 clients all give birth within the same 24-hour period.
That must have been very hard on you.
It definitely was. But I mean, also, like, the chances of that are pretty slim having happened again in the future. I was able to make it to all of their births because birth is so different. One person can have a really short labor, one person can have a really long labor, and then another person ended up being induced and her labor ended in a C-section. So through that 24-hour period, I was able to see 3 separate babies born. I also always work with backup doulas. So there's other doulas here in town who I share philosophies with, that if any of my clients are in labor and there's 2 clients at the same time and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it to both labors, there's always somebody here who I can count on to go out to that birth.
And it's amazing that you have those people with the same philosophy as you. And what are your philosophies?
My philosophy as a birth doula is that I really just want to make sure that each birthing person and their family feels really informed and supported during labor. We never know how labor is going to go, so I can't ever promise an outcome or to be pain medication free or to have a natural birth or to guarantee no induction. But I really strongly believe that everybody should feel safe and empowered and educated through their birth, and they should feel loved and supported by both their family and their medical team. So I try to look for doulas who have the same sort of philosophy as me in just making every birth experience as good as it can be. Also, just making sure that women who do experience some birth trauma, they have support afterwards to process that.
Well, that's amazing. If people want to approach you or to have you as their doula, what would they be doing? Would they be getting in touch with you at the beginning of their pregnancy? Would they be waiting until they're kind of midway through? Like, how does that look?
A lot of the time, people, especially in Fort McMurray, because we're in a pretty small town and we all kind of like, know each other by 6 degrees of separation. A lot of times people will get in touch with me in the first couple months of pregnancy because they've heard about me from word of mouth or they've been to one of my prenatal classes. And other times I won't get hired until right until the end of a pregnancy. Either one is totally fine. The biggest difference is that you pay a flat fee for a doula. So the earlier you hire one, the more support you get. But it's worth it to have a doula at any point during your pregnancy and postpartum because they're definitely going to invest the time to get to know you and your family.
And what types of things do you do early on in the pregnancy to assist with their pregnancy?
Mostly just do check-ins by either phone, text, or email to make sure that they're remaining comfortable during the early stage of pregnancy, that they've met with a healthcare provider, that if they have any questions about prenatal testing or childbirth classes, that I'm helping answer those questions.
And then in the middle of a pregnancy or a little bit later on, how does it switch? Does the type of support change, or what does that look like?
Usually, there's a lot more questions in the middle of pregnancy and towards the end. So, second trimester, we would probably be doing prenatal classes together. I teach free prenatal classes here in town, so I always encourage clients to come out and join me for that. And then I also teach meditation classes to my clients and anyone else who wants to sign up for them. So, we spend time learning about childbirth and practicing some strategies to help during birth. And then towards the end of the third trimester, we also make a birth plan or start to work on birth wishes, which is basically just a document to let the healthcare team, as well as myself and their birth partner, know what their wishes are during labor and what kind of birth they want to have.
So when you're working with people and you're coming up with this birth plan, like what are some of the things that you guys are going over? And I know that there is that space for the unknown or the unexpected, but what are those kind of things look like?
So we try to talk about all the different options. I'm listening to a really great book right now called Birth Without Fear. So in the book that I'm listening to, they really talk about having a birth philosophy. So what you want your birth to look and feel like. That's often the first thing we take time figuring out. One of the clients I'm working with right now, she knows that she wants her birth to be energetic and fun and positive, and she doesn't want people to play meditation music or tell her to slow down or relax. She really wants it to be an upbeat vibe. So then, with knowing that, we start to talk about some of the comfort measures that she's okay with. She'd rather be up and moving around and changing positions rather than getting pain medication early and spending time in bed and resting. So, after we talk about the ideal situation, then we start to talk about some of the what ifs to make a plan B or a plan C. So, if she needed to be induced, what might that look like, and what things would she be open to? And if she had a C-section, how would we be able to keep it a positive experience and make it really centered around her and her wishes?
Yeah, and that's amazing because for my situation, I didn't have a birth plan. I didn't know birth wishes, birth plan was a thing for my first. And then meeting you and having you as my doula and then having a midwife, that was such a game changer because I found out that these were questions that I didn't even know I needed to have answered or have to have information about because I honestly thought that you're going in, giving birth, it's either vaginal or C-section. I didn't know there were other methods. I had no knowledge of birth in itself. So it's just so awesome that you're able to provide prenatal classes. You're also able to provide that type of support and provide individuals with information and birth wishes so that they're not running into a situation that they're not able to advocate for themselves.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest things of having somebody sit down with you to talk about your birth wish in detail. So, like, that's a doula's job in most situations. I do remember your birth, and I also remember like meeting with you in the very beginning and talking about how you had just kind of expected to go with the flow a little bit. And sometimes the flow can be super easy and everything is just like, wow, that was so perfect. I didn't have to make any decisions. And Other times with labor, there's just like questions that come up, or there's a nurse who doesn't necessarily like support everything being all natural, or somebody makes a comment about you should get an epidural now because you won't be able to get one later. And then your mind just starts going. So I think it's really important to talk about those things before labor happens and kind of plan for the what ifs. I don't think that getting an epidural is either good or bad, or that being induced is either good or bad. I think that it really depends on everyone's own preference, but at least we talk about all those things before they happen.
Right, the pros and cons of getting an epidural, whereas an epidural can slow things down, but it does take away a lot of the pain, which is amazing, right? A lot of people, pain is a huge trigger for them.
Exactly.
So when you're meeting with these clients, where are they normally getting the information other than word of mouth? Like, let's just say I'm somebody newly pregnant. Like, do people in the OB office or in the midwife office, do they show your services, or do they usually reference a lot of doulas?
I find that, and research really supports this, that midwives are much more open to working with patients who have doulas, and midwives are much more likely to recommend doula services for people than OBs are. OBs are typically more classically medically trained and may not have as much information or experience working with doulas or know about how that service works. Most people who approach me for doula services are people who've heard of my prenatal classes or have heard by word of mouth about the type of services that I provide, or are like friends of past clients.
Okay, yeah, because I honestly had no idea what a doula was until one of my friends was pregnant when my son was about a year and a half. And I thought, wow, like I wish everybody knew about this because that's something that I definitely would have gone down that road.
Same. That's how I felt after my second pregnancy. Again, when that amazing doula came and helped me with breastfeeding, I was like, I don't know why I didn't know about this. I don't know why I wasn't doing this for my friends, because this is something I'm super passionate about. And coming from Ontario myself, I had never heard of a doula, but I really wish I had one for both of my pregnancies.
Yeah, well, there's a non-profit organization here actually. I think I don't know if they do it yet, but their plan is to like give doula services to those who can't financially afford it. I don't know if it's for the birth though. I think it's just kind of like extra support throughout pregnancy. And I'm pretty sure there's probably a long list, but I do know of a few that have their nursing degree as well. So some private insurances can cover it. There's like kind of a loop or whatever. But I do think that it's something that should just be covered, whether it's through private insurance or from like OHIP itself, because it's so important. And I'm pretty sure there are studies that show that when you have those extra support systems, that there's usually a better outcome for birth.
Yes, there are lots of statistics that show that when you have a doula, it decreases your risk of having a C-section. It increases your likelihood of having a spontaneous vaginal birth, and it also decreases your risk of experiencing birth trauma or being dissatisfied with your birth experience, which is really important because if we think about becoming a new mom, there's so many challenges already with those first couple of years of motherhood. So if you're also dealing with birth trauma or trying to get over a really negative birth experience, that can be just one more thing to have to cope with.
Yeah, it's true. And I think too that when you have a doula, it kind of takes some of that pressure off the rest of your village to show up in different ways. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, it really does. It also can help your spouse with how maybe he should show up or she should show up to help you, because a doula can provide information and resources for what your spouse or other family members might be needing to do for you to ease you into postpartum.
Yeah, and my friend that actually had the doula, they got the doula because their spouse was a first responder and he was often like gone for, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks at a time for training when she was going to be due, and she wanted to have that person there for her.
That's awesome. That would be a really great support for her to have just in case he was gone. And then also for him to know that she wasn't just by herself or, relying on sometimes family and friends say they're going to be able to help, but they also have their own life. So things come up and you might not get the help that you expect.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember in my situation too, is I really wanted a doula to have that extra support because my partner would also have to take care of our other child. And I didn't think that he would necessarily be there for the birth. And also, I wanted a more calming presence, which my partner, he's awesome. However, it's just the type of support that I need. He's not necessarily able to provide that during the birthing experience. So that's why for me, it was so important to have a doula in order to offer these things and to make sure that I wasn't alone during my birth. And I don't know if you recall, but he wasn't there while they broke my water because he had to go pick up my daughter in daycare. And then as soon as my water broke, my contractions started very, very suddenly. And thank God you were there and you were able to talk me through it. And we went for a walk. And it was just such an amazing experience that I cannot explain how much of a difference you made in my second pregnancy, birth, and postpartum.
Thank you so much for saying that. I'm so happy that I was able to be there and be that much of a help. Like that's literally the reason that I got into this, and it just makes me so glad that that's how you felt through your labor and birth. I mean, it's so challenging. Like your body can change so quickly from not having any pain to all of a sudden feeling a lot of pain and pressure. I think that as much as we definitely should have our partners in our labor room with us, it's so much harder to support your own loved one when they're in pain than to have somebody who's like professionally trained to support people in pain, especially like for a women-centric birth, having another woman take care of you rather than your partner can be really, really helpful, and it can take some of the pressure off of him so that he can actually enjoy the birth experience instead of being super stressed out about how to help. Yeah, I just really think that it's a huge job to expect partners to do on their own without other professional expert support.
Oh, for sure. And then two, I remember you were able to do pressure points, which I had no idea there were pressure points to relieve contractions. And I remember you were doing it so much. You must have been so sore the next morning, but it was just the knowledge you had was so beneficial. And I think that if everyone has the means in order to get a doula, they should.
Thank you. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I mean, those are the pressure points that I spent those days learning in doula training. And as well, like all the extra research and learning that us doulas do over the course of our careers to make sure that we're learning the new trends and research and, anything else that we can do to help clients during labor and easing those fears. For me, I found that a combination of touch and like support with teaching people how to breathe makes a really big difference. So I've focused a lot on hypnobirthing and meditation, as well as like massage and pressure points. And that seems to be like my secret weapon for helping through labor.
Oh, those pressure points were a lifesaver for me. I
Yeah.
couldn't believe that they helped so much.
They're super awesome. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, so I think too, even the meditation probably helps a lot of moms, even in the after parts of birth, like those first few months in the newborn phase, like learning meditation, learning like that your body's meant to have babies and whatnot. Like it definitely, I think, puts people in a different mindset than like for my first, I had no idea what was going on. I didn't go to any birth classes. This was COVID. And I definitely did not have any additional support. So I had no idea about any of this, and I suffered from postpartum anxiety after.
That sounds really, really hard. And I think that was really common during COVID. So many moms share a really similar experience with not getting out to prenatal classes and not being able to like build that village and then not knowing as much about childbirth.
Yeah, and I did hear a few stories of people whose doula wasn't able to join them during COVID as well because there was that limit of how many people could be with you, right? Which definitely put a toll on people.
Yes, we experienced that up here. There was in that first year of COVID, there was quite a few months where I wasn't able to attend labors in person with clients. And so we had to do virtual support, or clients had to make a choice between having their doula or their spouse with them.
That's so unfair, and that should have never happened.
It was really difficult. I think, we didn't know at the time what the risk factors were for COVID and how quickly it was being transmitted or anything like that. So I definitely, to some degree, get the hospital's standpoint of wanting to minimize risk. But during that especially critical time for moms and babies, I think that it's super important to have all the support that they needed and not limit that.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, do you only do up until birth, or are you also supporting moms in postpartum periods? Because I do know there are postpartum doulas, but I don't know if it's like all doulas do everything or.
I'm really lucky to get to do both. It is very challenging to manage birth and postpartum in my calendar, but it's absolutely something that I feel like is vital to be able to continue working with your doula postpartum as well. So I help moms at any point during the first couple of years after birth, and that can either be part of like a birth package that they sign a contract for at the time that they hire me, or they can just add that on afterwards. Dana, I remember like I came over and helped quite a bit with the babies after you gave birth as well. And that's pretty typical, having your doula come and either help with breastfeeding or helping with some childcare or sibling care, or helping if your spouse has to go back to work and it's a tricky time of day, all of those things.
So, what kind of services do you offer for postpartum?
I like to describe it as pretty much anything you could ask for postpartum, that you might need to help you and baby after you give birth. So often that could be breastfeeding support. It could be help with what newborns like to do. So, like help with sleep or swaddling or burping or taking care of a baby. I've spent a lot of time over the last years teaching parents how to give their baby a bath or how to soothe their baby. It could be help with cooking. So, like making a meal at a client's house or dropping off food. It can be help with meal prep. So, sometimes if you wanted to take a nap, you could leave me a whole bunch of food to cut up or to cook and the baby, and I can watch while the baby sleeps as well as chop veggies. I'm a really good multitasker. I do things like laundry and cleaning and organizing and help setting up baby rooms. Again, like the list is pretty much anything mom needs an extra set of hands with after a baby comes.
Well, that's amazing. And I feel like everyone definitely needs that. But you know what's crazy? You get like the best of both worlds because I feel like with newborns, like I don't know about you, I love the newborn phase. I know Dana's not like 100% loving it, but I wish I could have 1 million newborn babies. Like I just love that phase of them just like cuddly and baby scrunchies. Like I just love it.
They are super cute. I mean, they are just such warm little piles of snuggles. I feel like, once a newborn is fed and content, typically they're just happy to sleep on your chest for a couple of hours. And that's like the nicest feeling in the world, just checking in with their breathing and checking, like, I don't know, they're just so cute. But also, like one of the reasons that I got into postpartum support is when I was postpartum after my C-section, there was things that I just really needed done, like having somebody to dust the ceiling fan. And I kind of felt guilty asking my family to do it. And so I really wish that I had a postpartum doula who just like knew that that might bother me and come in and be like, hey, do you need your house dusted today? Or is there any laundry that I can fold? Or can I do those dishes for you? And just kind of like knows what we need as moms.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, like I seen this Instagram post or something that was saying that when people have more than one child and they get over that phase of buying new clothes and you don't need to buy a stroller, like they should make like a doula fund. And I was like, why is that not a thing? Why do people not talk about this? Like instead of like people bringing a gift and stuff, they like put money towards a doula fund for the mom.
100%.
And you have gift certificates, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do offer gift certificates, and they're bought on a regular basis for like baby showers. And I donate services on a regular basis for like raffles and things like that in town because it is just so nice to have somebody come in and take care of you for a couple of hours after you've had a baby.
Yeah, for sure. Is doula services just becoming a bigger thing, or is it something that's always been around and just nobody talks about it? Because I never knew about it, like I said, until my son was a year old.
I feel like it's becoming more and more well known. So, like, we have this huge focus on pregnancy and birth and motherhood right now. And I feel like moms and new families are kind of the biggest consumers of all the things. If I look at, ads, there's tons of new companies popping up, like Mom Cozy and Brezza and things like that, that are like offering to streamline motherhood, which is really fantastic. So I think we're just paying more attention to how women feel during their pregnancy and postpartum period, as well as labor itself, which is awesome. Birth used to be so much more medical, and now we're kind of pushing back into the like, wait a minute, we can do this. Why is everybody trying to make us stay in the bed? And that's really where doulas come in.
Yeah, and I think too, after giving birth, society doesn't necessarily give you the time to heal, and you're kind of expected to go back to your daily routine of taking care of like the house, the laundry, while your partner is working, that sort of thing. And I think it's nice that we're able to have this support because it takes a lot off of our plate.
It definitely does, and it should. And I mean, really, one of the things I try to remind mums about is that you are not supposed to go back to work right away after having a baby. Your placenta leaves a really big wound inside your uterus that has to take time to heal. So it's important to either have your partner or your family or a doula or all of those things help take care of you so that you can just rest and breastfeed and bond with your newborn and get yourself back to, normal as much as you can, because you'll never be completely the person you were before kids. That's something that fundamentally changes you, and it's really important to prioritize yourself during your pregnancy and your postpartum time, because you are really important to your children.
Yeah. And I think too that this is a common theme that moms think there's like this societal norm of you bounce back. And once your baby's like 6 weeks old, you should be back to where you were prior to having a baby. But I've like been told this by my OB as well that like you just carried a baby for 9 months and it's a big thing. It's not just you gave birth and now you also have to care for this baby. There's just so many different things to it. Your hormones are all over the place. Like, you shouldn't just give yourself a timeline of when you should feel back to what you consider normal, because now your normal looks different. You need to heal your body, and like, you need to actually have that rest for yourself, right?
Exactly. And being able to prioritize yourself and saying that I do need help and that I deserve help and I deserve somebody to take care of me is really important. I think that's definitely where a doula comes in, but also like just being able to say that to your partner and to your family members that like I have to take care of a baby, and so somebody's going to have to take care of me while I learn how to do this and make it a really big team effort.
What's the most rewarding thing as a doula?
For me, the most rewarding thing as a doula is close to the time when I get ready to leave a birth room and I look over from the doorway of the birth room, whether that's at home or the hospital, and I see mom and baby and dad or partner all snuggled in together, looking down at baby, and just I see the love between those three people. Usually this is immediately after baby has breastfed or bonded with mom and dad, and it's just that circle of that new family that's been created, and just getting to witness that moment is really the best thing for me.
That gives me baby fever. I don't know why, but like I
Right?
literally I'm surprised though, being a doula, you don't have like 100 kids, because I feel like if I was around newborns all the time, I would crave that like you know, but I guess you get so many baby, like newborn babies, right?
Yeah. And I mean, my kids are now 10 and 15. So I always joke that my kids feel a little bit more like roommates. Like we talk about who's getting in the shower now versus like, what do you want to eat tonight? And stuff like that. It's super chill being a parent of older children. I miss the newborn snuggles. Like, again, that is one of the best stages. And I love hanging out with toddlers and young children and hearing all their perspectives on how they see the world. But I'm also really glad to come home and get to sleep for like as many hours as I want and, you know, just be a grown up too. Like I can watch whatever I want on TV. Bluey's not on all the time anymore. And I can sleep until 1 o'clock if I need to after a birth. It doesn't make a difference. Nobody's waking me up. So there's a lot of positives to having your children grow up too. That's what I always tell moms, is that you might miss the newborn stage, but there's a lot of great stages still to come. So yeah.
Well, yeah, I think me being in like the thick of it, like my son's 3 and a half, my daughter's 1 year old. She's still colic, you could say. I definitely feel like there's no other life for me at this point. So I'm like, why not just have more kids, right? But then I also think like, oh, do I want another 3-year-old, right? In the midst of it, right?
Yeah, those are two really hard ages, especially put together.
Yes. It's fun though. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like busy, maybe a little bit sleep deprived, dealing with like picky eaters and stuff like that. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to be a doula, do they have to get all these certifications? Like what's kind of, does it look, is it the same thing for every doula? Is it different for doulas? Like how does it look?
I'd recommend that if anybody wanted to be a doula, that they researched what type of offerings there are out there for training. I would always prefer to take an in-person training rather than an online training for a lot of hands-on techniques like comfort measures. But like the overall philosophy of being a doula, you could totally take an online class and learn information about that. There's no universal certification process for doulas. There's many, many courses out there that you can take to be a doula. And then there's different certification requirements for each of those courses. Myself, personally, I have never become a certified birth doula because there's always been some roadblocks towards that, which might be local to Fort McMurray, or it might just be, you know, the time that I was doing doula courses. We needed to get medical professionals from the hospital to sign off on our skills. And I found that to be very daunting and difficult to get medical professionals to sign off on that, especially when they're not really sure what our skills are. It didn't really make sense as a process to me. So,
and you also have such a wide range of skills, right?
Yeah. So it's difficult. A lot of doulas have training and have certificates, but they may not be certified. I don't think that's necessarily something that should hinder a person from hiring one doula versus another, because there's also no registering body of doulas that keeps track of them. It's not like being a registered massage therapist or chiropractor.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I've taken courses with Dona and with Birth Rhythms and with Dolphin Meditation and Yoga, which is a company out of the States. And those are awesome courses to take, but a different doula may take a totally different path and have different skill sets. But really, you're looking for the person who's the right fit for you, who you feel would be very valuable for your birth and who is a birth professional, like somebody who not necessarily is your best friend, but somebody who you feel a connection with.
So a doula, are they everywhere in the world? Like, is this practice more in one area? Is this the same everywhere? Like, how does it kind of look in different countries?
I'm not really sure. I know more about what doulas are like in the States and in Australia and New Zealand because I've met some doulas from those locations, but I don't really know what it looks like in Europe or other countries. In like the Western world, doulas are pretty much the same. Like it's somebody who you hire as a birth support person who knows lots of information about normal physiological labor and then coping techniques like breathing and massage and physical techniques to help you during the pain of labor. And a doula is traditionally defined as somebody who will give you informational support, emotional support, and physical support during your labor and postpartum period.
Oh, that's amazing. That's like a definition of it then.
Totally.
So, Krista, how many births have you attended?
Oh man, I'm actually not sure. It's something that I haven't really kept track of, but I would imagine that I've done anywhere from 20 to 30 births a year for about 6 years that I've been consistently busy. Like, it's definitely more than several hundred. I'm at the point in my documentation of my files of birth plans that I've had to organize them by year because the list of scrolling through names is far too long to scroll through.
Oh, for sure. And so I don't think we talked about fees as well. So, like, what does that kind of look like for your clients?
For me, I charge a flat rate, and that covers a set number of services. So I charge $1,150 to cover meeting with a client from any time in their pregnancy until about 6 weeks postpartum. And that covers a couple of face-to-face meetings where we get together to talk about birth wishes, like we kind of discussed about what they want their birth to look like and how to roll with anything that happens unexpectedly. And then we meet again to talk about breastfeeding and what that might look like. If somebody isn't interested in breastfeeding, we talk about bottle feeding and how to get prepared for that. And then I come to their labor and birth and stay with them for whatever that looks like. If they have a C-section birth, I still come and help support them during that. And then usually I provide 1 to 2 meetings postpartum, depending on how much they really need afterwards to help with breastfeeding or any other support that they need during that time.
And do you find it's common that women need support during the breastfeeding phase?
Definitely. I would say that women underestimate in a lot of cases the amount of support they're going to need with breastfeeding. There is sort of this myth that breastfeeding is like this supernatural thing that you and your baby are just going to know how to do together. And while it is true that breastfeeding is very natural, there are a lot of positioning and learning how to listen for your baby to be drinking that we don't necessarily just instinctively know to do.
Yeah, and I think that with my first, I had such an easy breeze. Like, I had to see a lactation consultant to get him to stop nursing, and we never had any issues. But with my second, she had a tongue tie, a lip tie, and had so many issues that the lactation consultant I actually seen said to me, "This is a skill your baby's learning. It's not something that they naturally just come out knowing to do, and that's something that over time they need to learn."
Definitely. And every baby and mama combo is going to be super different in what their level of knowledge and skill is in the beginning. I've seen some babies come out and breastfeed amazingly right away, but then those moms might have it in their mind that it's not going as well as it is. So sometimes she needs somebody to just come sit with her and reassure her that everything's going well. It is really like 50% the baby and 50% the mom. So you want to make sure that both of them are doing well and that, you know, they're both reassured that everything's going well.
Yeah. And I think too that like having such like a whole picture approach like you have, it actually helps mom probably feel so much more confident that they are going to be doing the right thing and they have everything kind of looked at. Because when you just see one person, for example, they might not be able to see the whole picture, whereas you would know them on a personal level, right?
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons that I'm so devoted to doing postpartum support, especially with my own clients, but, you know, also as its own service, because it's often in the postpartum when labor's done that you're processing all those things and you really need the reassurance that everything's going okay. That's when the anxieties can sometimes pop up.
When people don't use doula services throughout their pregnancy and birth, and then they reach out postpartum, what is that typically like? What stage would you find? Do people usually do it right away? Like, how far along do people go in postpartum before they say, okay, yeah, we need more support?
It really depends. Like, from a business perspective, I find that 30 to 50% of my birth clients turn into long-term postpartum clients, so like a good number. And then there's a lot of people who didn't know about doulas or who didn't know a lot about birth, who were kind of surprised by the way things turned out, who get recommended to see either a lactation consultant or a postpartum doula. And then they become clients.
Well, that's amazing. So, when you say that helping with breastfeeding and stuff, can you also assess for tongue ties and lip ties and stuff like that?
I can't. I'm not a lactation consultant. So, as a doula, I've taken training on breastfeeding and how to help a baby latch on and to make sure that a baby is removing enough milk, as well as how to help prevent normal nipple pain and challenges. So, as part of that, I can kind of recognize that this looks like there could be a lip or a tongue tie because things aren't going the way that they would go typically. But I can't actually make that diagnosis and say, hey, this is what I see. This needs to be corrected, or be able to check a baby's function to see whether or not there is one. I would always recommend, if we thought that there was a lip or a tongue tie, for somebody to go see a lactation consultant, and then for that lactation consultant to refer them to an orthodontist.
Yes, yeah, that's what we did.
For families that are looking to get pregnant or already are pregnant and perhaps they can't afford a doula, what kind of advice would you have for them to prepare for their birth?
Well, first, I would definitely tell them to check their private benefits, so their workplace insurance benefits, because sometimes they can use those or their health spending account to help offset some of the costs of a doula. Also, I would recommend if a doula is something that they really want, that they talk to doulas because some of us offer sliding scale payments, or they could ask their family for a gift certificate towards a doula. I've actually had many people pay for services that way. But the other thing would be really to empower themselves with lots of childbirth education, going to different childbirth classes, not necessarily just ones offered by the hospital, but also ones that are led by doulas or at yoga studios or things like that to learn more about the natural approach to labor and birth. And then to make sure that their partner is going to be a really good advocate for them during labor and that their partner has a backup support person as well. It's a lot to ask our partner to be our only support person during labor. And the same studies that recommend doulas also recommend just having basically any third person with you during labor to help support your partner and to offer you extra support.
Well, that's amazing. And I think too that there should be more education and even more understanding of what doulas do, because I don't really think a lot of people who aren't pregnant or around pregnant people really think about that aspect of it, right?
Definitely. And it's so much more than just having somebody with you when you give birth, which is a major part of the function. But it's also that person to help prepare you for what childbirth and parenthood look like so that you can feel more confident through any of the stages.
That's amazing. And we're going to be wrapping it up soon, Krista. But do you have a memorable birth story that you could share with us that made a lasting impact on you?
One of the birth stories that really sticks in my mind, and there really has been so many over the years, and for me, I feel like all of them have been really memorable. One a couple years ago, when I had just finished reading a book about how midwives are able to sometimes tell what stage of labor a woman's in without having to do a cervical exam or without having to do any sort of physical checks, talked about how when a woman is in active labor, how the pressure that she feels inside her body changes as her body starts to dilate. So in the very early part of labor, the pressure that a woman feels is mostly in the front where her vagina is, or like where her pubic bone is. And then as labor progresses, the pressure that she feels in her body moves towards her bum. So often a midwife would be able to gauge whether or not a woman is close to pushing just by asking her, do you feel any pressure in your bum or any urge to push? And so One afternoon, when I was waiting for a client who had started labor to need to go to the hospital, one of the strategies I use is to call periodically just to kind of see how contractions are sounding and how she's doing and how her spouse is coping. And so I called and I spoke to her husband, and he said that she'd been con having contractions for a while, but seemed like she was doing pretty well, and she didn't want to leave the house yet. And she was just in the bathroom on her hands and knees and just, having contractions and coping really well and breathing really well. And then in the background, I heard her making some noises that sounded like she was groaning or grunting. And then I heard her saying that it felt like it was in her bum and like she needed to poo. And I remembered very specifically that book that I had been reading and realized that she was probably very close to pushing and that they still needed to have their babysitter come and that they weren't close to getting ready to go to the hospital. So I told him that and quickly jumped in my car and drove to her house and drove her to the hospital while her husband waited for the babysitter. And I remember as we were driving, the whole time she was holding on to the handlebar in my car and like lifting herself off the seat in order to like not put pressure on what was probably the baby's head the whole
Oh my
drive,
goodness.
right? And her water hadn't broken yet. So she was groaning through each contraction, and I could definitely tell from her groans that she was having a really hard time not pushing. So I used all of the strategies that I've learned over the years, reminding her to blow up balloons with her breath so that she wouldn't bear down into her bum. And she kept saying things like, "It feels like I really have to poo, and I feel like I have to go to the bathroom." And it was so interesting because it was exactly like what I had read in this book very recently. And we got to the hospital, and her husband called to say that the babysitter arrived and that he was on his way and he was driving quickly to make sure that he could get there for the birth. And we got upstairs to the hospital room, and she made it up to the hospital room on a stretcher, laying on her side. And it was one of the first times that I've been to the hospital that we didn't actually like leisurely walk up. Like they had to rush her up on a stretcher. And when we got into the room, we were there for about 3 minutes before he appeared in the doorway behind us. And just as he appeared in the doorway, she made a grunt noise, and all of a sudden, her water popped and the baby came sliding out with the force of the water. It was like barely even one push. And baby was there, and then he was hugging her and they were meeting their baby, and it was just amazing. It was such a fast, fast, furious birth, but turned out so, so well for everybody.
That sounds so beautiful. And the husband was there. He just made it. That's amazing.
Yeah, but that's one of my strongest parts of the memory is just seeing him framed in the door frame behind her because she was facing towards me. And the nurse was there at the bottom of the bed, ready to catch the baby. And it was just such a furious pop of her bag of waters as she just started to push without any guidance or without any prompting. Her body knew exactly what to do.
Well, that's amazing. That must have been so amazing to watch as well and like see that you helped bring this mother to birth the baby.
At the hospital, which was something that, she really didn't want to have a home birth, and we didn't have midwives at that point. So, home births was not something that we had birth attendants for. So it was really great that we were able to get to the hospital any longer. And I feel like we would have been much better to call an ambulance and have the baby at home. But it's just part of that special skill set that us doulas have of being able to gauge the stages of labor with something as little as like listening to breathing or vocals over the phone and just knowing when it's time, which I think is, pretty amazing that we're able to do that. But also just that the car ride went so well and that she was able to get there to have her baby and that her husband was able to be there too.
And that's such a beautiful note to leave on this beautiful story and all the amazing things that doulas can do for individuals.
Thank you both so much for having me on this evening. It was really wonderful. Yeah, what a cool experience to talk with you both.
Well, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
And this episode concludes our part one of season one. Season one, part two will be back on April 18th. So don't forget to check it out on your busy mom's calendar.
Thanks for listening to my mommies, and I really love you so much.